Chris Tatum, you're involved in the new Whiskey Trail in Tennessee. Tell us about this.
We're excited about it. Almost 30 distilleries across the state, from literally one end of the state to the other. We have members of our distillery are on this trail. We're going to be Jack Daniels, George Dickel, Old Forge Distillery, which is my distillery in Pigeon Forge. But we've got some amazing distillers out there, Corsair, Old Dominic in Memphis, right off Beale Street. It's fantastic. So we're excited about it.
That's really cool. And it is synonymous whiskey Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
It really is going way back. Even the story of Jack, that's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. We feel like everybody, you meet all these people as we've been putting this project together, and they've all got a story about either moonshine or something. And you know, the bottom line is moonshine, it's all whiskey. It's fun to hear because it touches so many people's lives, and there's such history. And then, and quite honestly, Tennessee spirits, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Tennessee spirits, we export almost 55% of all distilled spirits exported out of the United States.
50% of Tennessee.
55%. Wow. This is another interesting thing with us launching, you know, similar to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, is that if Jack Daniels could call their product bourbon, they produce more than all of the distilleries in Kentucky's combined.
Wow.
So we are very proud of Tennessee whiskey, and we believe that it's the creme de la creme of the spirit industry by far.
What is the difference between bourbon and whiskey?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I mean, bourbon, if I recall, and I'm not the perfect expert on this, but I think all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. And it has to do with the grain. It all has to be 51% mash bill, at least a minimum of 51% mash bill of corn. The big thing with Tennessee whiskey is obviously going to be made in Tennessee, but we also do a sugar maple charcoal filtration.
That's pretty synonymous with Tennessee, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. It is. It completely is. So that's the biggest difference. And that's why I said if Jack called their product bourbon, they didn't do that, go through that charcoal, you know, sugar maple charcoal filter process.
It really is kind of fine, minute differences. It's not major.
You know, it's not. The beauty of whiskey is, in my opinion, whiskey or bourbon, because we make Tennessee bourbon too, is that so many factors go into the taste. The season, where the barrels are stored, the temperature variation, where the barrels are purchased, down to what does your palate taste based off your life as compared to what my palate tastes based off my life. You know, so that's what makes it so much fun.
A naive question for you. I spent time with the Scotch Whiskey Association in Scotland.
Okay.
And they go, yeah, we get our once-used bourbon barrels from America, Tennessee, Kentucky, whatever.
Yeah.
So I never really thought about it anymore, but that means you guys only use a barrel once and then you sell it?
That is part of the definition of a Tennessee whiskey and a bourbon.
What's wrong with using it two or three times, like wineries?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that what we want to have a specialty, in my opinion, and this is one man's opinion.
Right.
I believe that it's good for us to have that because we want to hold ourselves to a higher standard. There's nothing wrong, and there's plenty. So it's called American whiskey.
So it's kind of a purist approach, basically.
It is, but it's also, it's a different flavor. I mean, you can do stuff and use bourbon barrels. Angel's Envy in Kentucky's done a fantastic job of used Bordeaux and wine barrels to flavor theirs. It's just another category. So I think a lot of people go, well, you know, it's only the best if it's only used once. Well, I don't know about that. I think that there's a lot of good spirits out there, but we're proud of the fact that we can sit there and we can say it's used once. You know, the only other comment I'd make to that is I've always wondered, well, how did they have scotch before we started giving them our barrels? You know what I'm saying? So
that's a good one.
That's the only question I've always had is, if it's got to be our barrels, then weren't we first, you know? So
well, I think they were just shopping for a bargain.
Yeah, that might have been it. That's exactly it. That might have been it. That's a good point. That could have absolutely been it. So
tell us more about the Whiskey Trail itself. This is an itinerary or a map, basically, to finding and discovering whiskey distillers in Tennessee.
We've mapped it out. It's about a 10-day journey if you want to hit them all. And the beauty of taking this journey is not only do you see all of the heritage and culture across the state, you know, from the plains of West Tennessee to the mountains of East Tennessee and to the metropolis, if you will, of Nashville, you get to experience all of these varying tastes. We have distillers that make gin, some amazing award-winning gin. We make rum. We make vodka. We got Tennessee vodka. You know, we got whiskey. We got bourbon. We basically can make everything except for scotch and tequila is the way we've kind of summarized it, you know. And you get to come across there, and you've got some of our guys like at Short Mountain in Woodbury, Tennessee. It's a 330-acre farm down there in Woodbury. I mean, he's growing his own corn. He's turning around and then distilling and making his own product, doing it all in hand. You've got stuff like at our distillery, you know, Old Forge and Pigeon Forge, where we hand-select our grains. It's milled on an 1830 grist mill. that's still water powered.
Wow.
We then take our spent grains and we make bread and sell it across the street.
Oh,
or
cool.
Make a bun. This is what you'll really like. This is something that's cool. We have a bun for a hamburger. Well, guess what? The meat, the cattle that eat that we get the meat for that meat comes from, they're eating the spent grains from our distillation. So it's a full 360 as far as the grain.
So your wort goes out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a really cool thing.
That's
great. You know, you start talking about places like Speakeasy or H. Clark. These are small guys. H. Clark's a small 1,200 square feet. And he's a lawyer as well, so he has a law office in the distillery. Mm-hmm. Speakeasy making a phenomenal vodka. Corsair, we've already talked about them. I think they have a million and one flavors of whiskeys and gins and everything. Quinoa, a nine-grain bourbon that they do. So the trail gives you a chance to experience not just whiskey, but whiskey and moonshine and bourbon, but also all the other stuff that goes in that area, in that town. It's really
I was going to say it's travel destination too.
Oh, absolutely.
With like kind of golfer's vacation, but this one's whiskey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, what's funny is you can do it with, you know, people with sophisticated palates. They're partnering with these restaurants, you know, and doing stuff with the spirits, you know, with the whiskey, with the bourbon, you know, with the vodka, with the gin. So it can definitely be a connoisseur's paradise in Tennessee. You got 10 days. 10 days with some of the best culinary restaurants in the United States, and obviously I think some of the best spirits in the world.
And your distillery is way over in eastern Tennessee. You're almost North Carolina, right?
Yes, we are. We're Pigeon Forge. We're right at the North Carolina border. We are, but we're fortunate because we are in a tourist area. So we really get to have a lot of time, a lot of fun interacting with tourists that come in. There's 10.5 million people that visit the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. A million one of them come through our distillery.
Wow.
So it's pretty, we're very happy about that, to say the least.
No kidding. Location.
Location, there you go. That's exactly the way to put it, you know. Yeah. But this trail, though, what we love about this trail is that not only will it take you to someplace like, you know, our distillery, in the heart of a historic district in the heart of a big tourist town, it's going to take you to the Woodberries or to the 10 Souths down in Linville or the Southern Prides. You know, these places, or Old Glory up in Clarksville, up at the Kentucky border. You know, he's a rock's throw from the state of Kentucky, and he's making some incredible spirits there. And it's a family operation. So that's what's pretty cool.
Very cool. And then you mentioned earlier about the European overseas market for Tennessee whiskey. That would imply that you're going to have a lot of Europeans that are going to come here looking for the motherland.
Well, we definitely have our fair share, especially in East Tennessee, of German, especially German visitors. In fact, our distillery has a phenomenal amount of German people that come in groups, 8, 10, 12, 14 people, and they'll spend 21 days seeing the U.S., and they'll spend 10 or 11 just in Tennessee. So it's fantastic for us. And we've got, State Department of Tourism has done a phenomenal job bringing these people in and showing them the spirits, the beer, the food, the history, and that's good.
That's so cool. If somebody wanted to learn more about the new Whiskey Trail, do you have a website?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot. TennesseeWhiskeyTrail.com. And my hope is you can just Google Tennessee Whiskey Trail and we'll be number one, I hope.
I'm pretty quick. I love it. Chris Tatum, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
The music underbed, Tennessee Whiskey, is performed by Megan Lindsay.